Chapter number 2. Let's stand together. Read some verses to you. This is a message that'll kind of unfold just a little bit slow. But I want to give you some things today. I don't know if I can get... It's really, Riley, one of these messages. If I get it started, I really need to finish it because there ain't no good place to end this thing. In the middle of it, it kind of leaves y'all bruised and battered, and amen, it ain't that bad, but it's just, amen, the end's where the hope is. And so I want to try to get it all in. If we don't, we'll pray the Holy Ghost, let us not, amen, send you out, amen, needing stitches and kind of put some salve, and we'll finish it up this evening. Very serious message. I mean, this thing has burned in my heart now for probably 7 or 8 weeks, and I'm thankful for what the Lord's teaching me through this text. The Bible said in verse number 10, in the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, listen now, verse 12 and 13 is going to be two separate questions. They are brought together to form a truth. He said, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? The priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? The priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands. That which they offered there is unclean. Now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press fat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. And I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hands, yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now, from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth. From this day, listen to this, from this day will I bless you. From this day, what he's dealing with and what he wants him to get a hold of, he is saying, if you get a hold of it and put it into practice, today is the day that blessings begin to fall in your life. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus, how thankful we are, Lord, to enter into the house of God. Lord, we don't take it lightly. Lord, we've been excited throughout, Lord, this week and, Lord, throughout the day on yesterday, throughout the evening last night, and, Lord, getting up this morning, anticipating being able to enter the house of God. Lord, we're thankful this morning for the songs that have been sung. Lord, the many prayers that have been made upon this altar already. Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, in all these things, our God would find something to smile upon and bring pleasure to your heart. Lord, I pray now, Lord, for the next little while, Lord, as long as you enable us to and direct us to, may the Spirit of the Lord move in every heart, Lord, every life, especially those that are saved and know the Lord. Lord, as the message today concerns our life and our walk with God, our spending time with you and in your presence, Lord, I pray we'd all be challenged today, Lord, in this matter. Lord, not just take to heart and consider, but Lord, to leave, Lord, determine, Lord, to put into practice these things. Lord, all that you do for us, we'll thank you and bless you, Lord. I know they may be and likely, Lord, as sinners in this place, Lord, that need saving. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, give them a clear mind and a clear heart, Lord, to be able to understand the gospel. And Lord, what we would preach it, Lord, maybe some way the Holy Ghost would take it and bring conviction to their life. Lord, do something great for them. And Lord, all the glory would be to you and your Son, Jesus Christ, should they get saved today. And Lord, we'll thank you again for what you do. In Jesus' name again we pray. Amen and amen. We're considering these verses this morning at large. We consider the man and the prophet that God is using in this book, the preacher, the man of God, if you will, this prophet, Haggai. Haggai's ministry concerns that time in Israel's history in which Israel had been brought back into the land of Israel, the city of Jerusalem, out of Babylonian captivity. They had sinned and God let the enemy come in. And they've been carried away for over 70 years, and now God is letting them return. And to return primarily in the days of Ezra concerned with building the house of God. And yet when the people came back, they went back with a measure of excitement. But when they got there, they found the house of God was in rubble and in ruin. They found that, my friend, the house of God had literally been laid to waste, and the burden of rebuilding the work of God in that day seemed to be such a great matter. And yet when they first get there in their excitement, they begin. But as the burdens begin to be laid to their shoulders, they begin to slowly drift away from building the house of God. And so God raises up this man of God, Haggai, in chapter number 1. He wastes no time. He doesn't ease into any kind of easy message. There's no honey sticks and sugar water being handed out. He just simply begins on the scene. And he says, why is it that ye dwell in your sealed houses? How is it that your houses are thriving and flourishing and you're gaining more? And yet the house of God lays in waste, and he calls upon them to consider their ways. And God did not send them back for their own glory and for their own well-being and for their own attainment of riches and of wealth and of comfort and of what would be ease to them. God had sent them back and made a way that they might build the house of God. And so several times in the opening of this book, you find that Haggai says, consider your ways. Amen. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. You're spinning your wheels. Amen. Consider your ways and get to doing the work of God. Evidently, they respond in the latter half of chapter number 1. And they began to be excited, and the Spirit of the Lord begins to move upon them. And their excitement comes back, and their joy comes back. All of a sudden, they're picking up their hammers again and their saws again. And all of a sudden, the work of God is going on, and you can hear the sound of construction. Hey man, you can hear them singing and whistling while they're working, excited about what God is doing. Evidently, between the end of chapter number 1 and chapter number 2, we believe from studying other texts, there is a spirit of discouragement that begins to fall upon the people of God. There are some that are among the crowd that are working that began to make statements like, yeah, we're building the work, but it ain't nothing like what it used to be in the days of its glory. And the foundations are being laid, but there's no glory in this work. And we feel like we're wasting our time building something that's not going to amount to anything. In the first half of chapter number 2, Haggai stands up and basically says this. Hey man, it may not look like much now, but you just keep on laboring. Because God is in the midst of this. And it may look like a bunch of rubble, and it may look like a bunch of ruin, and it may look like Amen. It's nothing like what it once was or what you desire it to be. God says to Haggai when in the latter end, and when all is said and done, it ain't about your work. It's about the glory God's going to pour in this. And the glory God have put in the house of God in the latter time is going to be greater than the former. And what God is doing through Haggai, He's taking, amen, that little ragtag bunch of Jews in Jerusalem, amen, that are doing the best they can do to hang on, and are doing the best they can do to lay a foundation, and doing the best they can do to establish a system of worship in that holy city of Jerusalem again. Amen. For the honor and the glory of God, and reminding them, amen, what they just sang a moment ago is true. Amen. It may feel like there's hardship and battles along the way. Amen. But it'll be worth it all when God breaks through and God's glory falls. Amen. And so keep your eyes on the Lord and know He's with you. And know that God has greater things in store to those who'll be faithful. Yes. Amen. And so that is in a nutshell what the message of Haggai is to the point of the text verses that we read. And verse number 10 here we find that Haggai is called upon again here in the 24th day of the 9th month. And you'll find that literally 2 months passed by, and Haggai stands again, Brother Mike, and here he's going to begin to address not matters concerning the work of God, but now he's going to rise and ask two questions to the priest to challenge the people about their walk with God. You see, they are busy. They're swinging their hammers with all their might. Amen. They're sowing lumber with all their might. They've gone to the mountains, and they've cut down trees, and with back-breaking, painstaking effort, they have hauled those trees down, and they're working and they're laboring diligently. Now God calls for them to pause just a moment and to consider that while they're working for God, had they not neglect their walk with God. Amen. Lord, help me now. Amen. And so let's look at these two questions that are asked and see if we can make our way to our thought this morning. In chapter number 2 and in verse number 12, question number 1, I think we could say this morning is about sanctity. It is about sanctity. The question is simply this. He says, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and so we understand under the Levitical law that the priests were to take portions of certain sacrifices for themselves. There were some that they couldn't. There were others they were commanded to. There were yet others that should they choose and have a need in their life, that they could take portions of those offerings for their own provision. And I believe this is what this question is concerned with. The priest and Levite taking portions from the sacrifice upon the brazen altar. And God called that holy flesh. Amen. This was this sacrifice, this meat that is taken, is considered to be holy flesh as it had been both set apart and sacrificed to the Lord. And as we consider the question at large, Brother Mike, I believe the question at hand is concerned with this. It is concerned with the transfer of the sanctity of the meat to the other items that are at the table. The question is this: if that priest reaches into the brazen altar and takes that sacrifice off, and he sits down at the table and he makes a spread, and that meat were to touch the bread that is on the table, or the pottage that is on the table, or the wine that is on the table, or if it should happen to touch some other meat that has been laid out, do those other items, is there a transfer of the holiness from that holy flesh
to those other items that are at the table. And the priests stand up and with conviction they answer correctly and they say, no, that holiness is not transferable. That there is no measure, there is no means whereby sanctity and that has been set apart and sacrificed to God, my friend, can have a bearing and rub off holiness, amen, on something else. Now consider question number two. If question number one is about sanctity in verse number 13, question number two is about sin. Amen. Notice what he said. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by dead body touch any of these, that is the bread, the pottage, the wine, or any meat, amen, shall it be unclean? And the priest give an answer in opposition to that of question number one and say absolutely. You see, the ceremonial codes of being clean and unclean, they prevailed under the law. Under the law, God was the one that said what was holy and unholy. And God commanded that was clean and that was unclean. Amen. God said through the law, this is clean, that's unclean. And you may not like it. Amen. If you didn't like it, amen. In the words of one preacher, you can like it, amen, or jump it, amen. It didn't change it one lick. And God was the one and still is the one to this day. It says what is clean and what is unclean. And so the law says that this is clean. It tells you how something that is clean can go to being unclean. And if you become unclean, the law tells you what you have to do to come back to being clean again. And so that prevailed under the law. And so the question here then is this. If something that is defiled were to touch, amen, these other items at the table, will they become unclean? And the priest said, absolutely. And you son of a preacher, how can that be? If the holy flesh cannot make the items holy, how is it that unclean things make those items at the table unclean? Now, that's kind of what we want to deal with today. Hey, man, you see, the purpose of these questions, I believe, is to teach the people and to teach you and I, as God has laid it in my heart today, as a principle we want to deal with, is that sanctity is not transferable, but sin is. I believe we can illustrate this in a way we would really, amen, especially over the last year, be very familiar with. We would say today that sick people, amen, affect healthy people. Amen, if someone's sick and has the COVID, we want them to stay away. Amen, wear your mask. Amen, stay 6 feet away. In fact, amen, stay 60 feet away. If you got COVID, amen, you know why we're that way? Because we know that sick people can affect healthy people. But I think we understand this. Amen, healthy people do not have an effect on sick people. If that was the case, then I'm mighty upset because I've been sick the last 6 weeks. And some of y'all healthy folk could have come by and made me well. Amen. And so, my friend, healthy people are affected by sick people, but the healthy, my friend, they do not change the sickness, my friend, of the sick. And so today we find that, amen, sanctity is transferable, but sin is. And you know this is right today. There's a lot of sin in our world. Amen. They sin abounds on every hand. You just walk through this world. And by the way, we are in the world. We ain't of it, but we are in it. And there's a lot of ways and sin can be transferred to our life. And you let something that is unclean, amen, something that is unclean in your flesh, amen, something unclean in the world, something unclean that has been devised from the very gates of hell, amen, to come in contact with your life. Ain't it amazing how easily sin affects our life, amen, and takes you and I into a state of spiritual uncleanness, amen. And so the warning in these questions is, amen, understand that we're so prone to sin. And we're so prone, my friend, to be affected by, amen, that is unclean while remaining unaffected by those things which are holy. Does that make sense? Amen. I believe these questions are an indictment, amen, against our own sin nature. Amen. We are all sinners. And my friend, in our fleshly nature, our first nature, our Adamic nature, we, my friend, are so prone to fall prey to the works of the flesh. Amen. Hang with me now. I told you it unfolds slow. Amen. Notice with me, I don't want to spend too much time, at least here. We'll have to hit it, but I'm not so much interested in verse 13 for our thought as I am verse number 12. Notice what Haggai asked in this first question. If one bear what? Holy flesh. If one bear holy flesh. And so the question came to my mind, Brother Mark, that the question is this: what made the holy flesh holy? Why is it holy? Why is it that as it is described as holy, and it sits at the table with bread that is not called holy bread, and pottage that is not called holy pottage, and wine and other meat that is not described as holy. But this particular flesh, Haggai, the Lord said, and it is holy flesh. What made the holy flesh holy? Amen. Y'all look so interested. Amen. Let me say this morning, that, and I already hit on it, there's probably several things we can focus in. I want to get very direct this morning with how the Lord has unfolded this to me. Beyond being set apart and sacrificed to God, I believe that its holiness was formed and declared upon the altar. Amen. There is it spent time in the fire of the presence of God. Amen. In fact, you can go back and you can study the Levitical sacrifices that were made. Amen. And those offerings and sacrifices that would be brought up the Lord throughout all those commandments. He would call them. Amen. He would say, this is holy unto me. This is holy unto me. Amen. The priest can't touch that. It's holy unto me. And yet, you'll find that there is a measure in which I believe we can say those things were not declared holy until after they had been placed upon the altar and my friend spent time on the altar and had been cultivated as holy, amen, in the fire of the presence of God. Say, preacher, what do you mean? Now, I don't know if this is deep or if it's so shallow I'm all over the place, but, amen, it seems to be deep in my own heart that at this first question is really teaching you and me that it takes time with God to be holy. It takes time with God to be holy. If we was to ask today, amen, if we was to ask today and do a survey, amen, in this service and then go beyond into our community and begin to ask people, what is it that makes someone holy? What is it that we can describe about somebody's life that would make them holy? Amen. It would be, Brother Tim, such a wide range of things that people would say that would be the characteristic of holiness. But my friend, can I just make a few remarks this morning? Amen. I want to drive this home, and maybe this is all the further we get. Amen, but can I say today that, amen, it is time with God that my friend causes one to be holy. Holiness does not come by accident. You'll never be holy on accident. Amen, in fact, can we paraphrase the question in verse number 12 that the Lord is asking if a priest pulls out that portion off the altar and out of the fire. That holy flesh, and he's bearing it in his skirt. He's carrying it to the table. And just we're so happy by accident to bless the bread. Is the bread made holy? And they say, no. Amen. You know why? Because that bread has not spent time in the presence of God. That bread has not been on the altar. Amen. The flesh, the meat, the sacrifice. Amen. Has spent time in the presence of God. Amen. Friend, other things at the table are not made holy by accident. We'd be amazed how many people take their walk with God casually. They're just flipping in their Christianity and their profession of faith as though one of these days they'll attain to, amen, maybe stumbling into being a holy child of God. That crowd will never, never know what it is to walk in holiness. Holiness does not come by accident. Amen. It comes from being driven in our heart to a holy God. It comes from taking the time to crawl up, amen, upon an altar somewhere and live our life. Amen. And desire in our life the fire, the presence of the Lord, whereby you and I may be holy. Amen. I'm telling you today, holiness, it does not come by accident. Amen. From this question in verse number 12, I believe we can accurately say holiness does not come by association. Amen. The bread is not made holy because it sits upon the same table as the holy flesh. Amen. Can I say just because you got a holy mama, that don't mean you're going to be holy. And because you got a holy papa, amen, don't mean you're going to be holy. Holiness does not come by association. Amen. Listen. Amen. That flesh had to go through the fire. That flesh had to be laid upon the altar. That meat, my friend, had to spend time. Amen. In the presence of God. Amen. It did not come by association. So many in our day think I'll go to a holy church. That will make me holy. I'll attach my life to a holy preacher. And so that way I'll be looked at as holy. Amen. But my friend, we're so mistaken. Amen. In not understanding that holiness does not come by association. Amen. Holiness is brought out. Amen. By spending time with the holy God. Amen. Basking in His presence and desiring His presence and laying upon an altar in prayer. Amen. Giving ourselves to God in such a way that God is able to form and cultivate within our life. And when we leave the altar and we're carried away from the altar, and our life can be lived, amen, in holiness by the very character of God Himself. The Bible commands you and I be ye holy as I am holy. How are you going to do that? Well, you're not going to do it reading, amen, self-help holy books. Amen. Amen. And listen, I'm for reading and books. Amen. But really at the end of the day, amen, what I'm telling you is there ain't no formula. Amen. There's no magical words you can say. There's no, amen, there's no activity you can do and perform. And holiness is the result of you and A. Amen. Giving our life to God and saying, dear God, amen, I'm a nobody and I'm a nothing. I may labor and I may work and I may toil, and these people were doing that. Amen. You say holiness, can I put it this way? Amen. Holiness does not come by activity. Amen. You can labor, you can work. Amen. You can knock doors, you can preach sermons and sing songs. Amen. You can clean toilets and vacuum floors. Amen. You can help the needy, but my friend, amen, all those things, as good as they may be, amen, those things in themselves is not what makes a person holy. It ain't how you dress that makes you holy. Amen. It ain't how you talk that makes you holy. Amen. It ain't in how loud you can shout or how long you can read. and to make holiness stirred up in your life. Amen. It's you and I realize it. Amen. That in ourself dwelling no good thing. My friend, in God dwells every good thing. And what He desires us to be will never be in and of ourselves. I won't be that just because I hook up with Gerald. Amen. I won't be that. Amen. Because I just stumbled into it. My friend, I'll be that by spending time with a holy, holy, holy God. We've got a crowd in our day. I'm afraid Gerald don't know much about holiness. The reason is they don't know a lot about what it is to truly live on an altar in the presence of God. A man by the name of William Longstaff in 1882, he wrote a hymn. I told the men yesterday in the meeting that the song that he wrote, in fact, is the title of what I'm preaching on this morning, the song, Take Time to Be Holy. How many of y'all's heard that song? How many of y'all's never heard that song? Amen. You won't hear it sung much in churches anymore. And I told the men a lot of reasons for that. Number one, it's not a, amen, you can't play your drums and bang your head to this song. Amen. Ain't a lot of emotionalism in this song and the lyrics and the rhythm and the tune, and many people will just get bored with it. Ain't a real good what we call, and I love camp meeting songs. We sing them. That's why we got the church hymnal around here. Amen. Cause we like the camp meeting songs. But you won't hear many churches sing Take Time to Be Holy anymore. Cause it don't stir them. And I'm going to tell you another reason you won't hear this song sung much in many churches, Riley, is cause people are not interested in taking time to be holy. Listen to this. 1882. Tell me, Brother Tim, if these men were not on a different mindset when it came to spirituality and holiness and walking with God. Y'all, everybody with me? I'm about done. I've got about all I can do. Here's what he said. Verse stanza, if you will. Verse number one, Brother Mike. Take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. Abide in Him always. Feed on His Word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing His blessings to seek. Do you hear prayer? Do you hear Him? Do you hear His heartbeat? Kathy, as he said, amen, take time to be holy. If you're going to be holy and take time, you have to spend time with the Lord. Stanza 2 said, take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret. With Jesus alone, by looking to Jesus like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let Him be thy guide. And run not before Him, whate'er betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in His Word. Stanza 4, take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath His control. Thus led by His Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above. You see, I believe William Longstaff and his generation knew something and had a hold of something our generation so desperately needs. I believe it's the message that God has given me from Haggai and chapter number 2, that in the midst of all their service and in the midst of all their labor and their work, the burdens they were bearing, the discouragement that they were facing, the seemingly meaningless efforts that Riley, that they were making, God says, be encouraged. I am with you and I'm going to do some great things. But my friend, what he reminds him in this text is, and if it's going to be what I want it to be and you're going to make it, amen, without quitting, you're going to have to learn how to take time to be holy. No activity No association. Amen. No accidents. My friend, or a substitute for living our life on the altar in the presence of God. We're living in one of the most discouraged generations. I'm done. I'll preach maybe on this tonight. Living in one of the most discouraged generations. And we can read Haggai and we can see these people. And I know Haggai showed up. Man, chapter 1, he blistered their ever-loving hide. Pulled no punches, just bam! Consider your ways. And they said, yes, sir, we will follow God. And they got to work. I believe Brother Tim was really in their heart to do the work of God. And when they began to get discouraged, ain't you glad when God comes to your side and says, hey, you just keep on, I'm with you, and it's going to be okay. I know it's hard. I know there's a lot of things you don't understand. I'm with you, and if you'll be faithful, I'll do a great work in the end. Don't lose sight of that. Then the Lord to sit down and say, what I really need out of you, I need you to swing the hammer, but more importantly than swinging the hammer and staying at the work, I need you to take time to be holy. Because when you get down to the end of the context of this portion of Scripture, God says that's where the real blessings flow. Can I give you a little prelude to what maybe we'll deal with tonight? When you read, go home, read it again this afternoon and get hungry for it. God said to this point you've been laboring and you've been going at it so strong. He said you get to the point that you go out in the field and you bring your crop in and you're expecting that you will receive 50 measures. He said all you get out of it's 25. Amen. And he goes through there and talks about the press. And I'm way ahead of myself. I'll just give this to you. Be a good place to end kind of the challenges and not leave us too battered up. Like you said, you go to the wine press and you're missing 50% from the field and you're missing 60% of what you could have at the wine press. God is saying, if you'll get a hold of this and you'll turn to me, you'll get in the altar, get on the altar in the fire of the presence of God and start taking your walk with God as serious as you should. He said, you'll stop. You won't have to be spinning your wheels, giving 110% only to reap a 50% blessing. I wonder today what we're missing out on, what we'll never hold in our hand because we don't take time to be holy. I wonder how many prayers that we've said, desires we have, requests we know are needed, but because we've not really taken time to be holy, there's unanswered prayers across the path of our Christian life. God is saying, I would answer those prayers today. I would do those things now. I would make sure that there was no deduction in the blessings that I have desired and planned for you to hold if you just take time to be holy. Have you done it? Are you doing it? Are you growing in it? So, I've got that nailed down. Well, if that's your attitude, you probably don't have it nailed down. There's always room to grow. There's always room to be made more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I know this is a feeble attempt. Amen. I'll get the good stuff here this evening. The Lord will be our helper. But Brother Mo, this generation better learn how to take time to be holy. Because I'm going to teach you tonight, the only deterrent you have of the question asked in verse 13 about being made unclean is to get in that fire and live in the presence of God. The deterrent, amen, can I preach this? The only deterrent to sin in your life is you taking time to be holy. Amen. Listen, I'm for making no provision for the flesh. If you know you got problems in your flesh and things you're more prone and tempted to do, amen, you ought to make every provision you can. Amen.
But listen, you can put every firewall, you can put every internet blocker on your computer and your phone. Amen. And if you don't take time to be holy, you'll find some way to skirt around every provision you've made. The only deterrent to sin is taking time to be holy. It's the only alternative we've got. Amen. And I'm telling you today, this generation desperately needs to take time, Brother Larry, to be holy before God. Amen. Let's leave off there. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for the word of the Lord. Thank you for letting me preach again. Lord, I'm a nobody. Lord, I know in a lot of ways it's a feeble attempt. Lord, you know, Lord, the weariness of our flesh. Lord, this physical man, Lord, what it is. But Lord, today we've tried to make an attempt of it. And I pray this morning, Lord, it'd go out and pierce the hearts, Lord, of every individual that's in this place. Lord, a lot of needs that are represented here today. Lord, a lot of spiritual needs, Lord, that could be, Lord, met. A lot of our walk with God could be made clear, Lord, if we just take time to be holy and speak off with our Lord, abiding in His presence always, feasting on His Word. Lord, help us and teach us to take time to be holy. Lord, all that You do, we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.